Just a quick word from our sponsor before we jump into today's episode. Optimizing your internal processes can often be a huge unlock for streamlining revenue and getting you and your team, if you have one, out of a manual process. If you're looking to reduce costs and headaches in one fell swoop, consider graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere, and you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything seems to be more expensive these days, so proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time, like NetSuite, are kind of a no-brainer. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/SPI. netsuite.com/SPI. Once again, netsuite.com/SPI. And now a quick word from our sponsor before we start the show. Ready to earn sustainable income while creating the work you're passionate about? Get started with Memberful. Whether you teach online courses, host a podcast, run a blog, or write a newsletter, Memberful has all the tools you need to unlock revenue and deeply connect with your audience through subscription membership. Their platform allows you to easily gate content, communicate with your audience, and tier membership access directly on your own website. Plus, with Memberful, there's no need to change your workflow. They work seamlessly and integrate with the tools you already use, including MailChimp, Discord, Zapier, ConvertKit, Google Analytics, and more. Utilize their powerful built-in features and dashboards and watch your business grow. The best part? Memberful gives you full control and ownership of your audience, your brand, and your business. Get started for free at memberful.com/SPI. One more time, that's memberful.com/SPI.
ConvertKit is very, very good at building affinity. They say for podcasters, for bloggers, for insert category. And then they have a testimonial that's specifically tied to that industry. How do you have someone scroll through and say, that's me, and resonate and connect because they're in those shoes and they're in that situation? Those are, as a starting point, some of the things you want to start to think about when you're putting together testimonials that are going to really help maximize conversion rate. People arrive at the website, they see that, it builds trust, and they make that conversion.
You know, in our business, we often have so many big ideas that we often don't go back to kind of the foundational things that often worked in the first place. And one of those low-hanging fruits, if you will, that everybody should be paying more attention to, ourselves included, are testimonials. Getting customers, students, people who have experienced your product to talk about that experience to help convince others that are curious about whether or not that's actually worth their time and or money is absolutely vital. And yet, for whatever reason, most of us don't take this seriously. Well, today we are talking with Casey Hill, the head of growth over at Bonjoro. Bonjoro is one of my favorite tools. In fact, I talked about it quite heavily in my book, Superfans. Bonjoro is spelled B-O-N-J-O-R-O. And they have been full force creating something that is so exciting and, in my opinion, revolutionary to help us with managing and tracking and keeping organized our testimonials. They have a new testimonials tool. Imagine this. A person is a customer or a student of yours. You send them a link and it prompts them with the exact questions to allow them to easily hit a button to record video to answer those questions that become the most fruitful testimonials and case studies that you could ever ask for, that you can now embed on your website, download and put into your sales videos, etc. And so we're going to talk today with Casey, not just about Bonjoro's testimonials tool, but more importantly, what kinds of questions should you be asking? And how do you ask these questions? What's the right time to ask these questions to be able to get and gather these best testimonials that you can now offer? What is a good testimonial? What is a not great testimonial? What kinds of things should you look out for? This is a hard-hitting, quick-hit episode that I think is going to really, really inspire you to get going on something that you probably should have gotten going on before. I hope you enjoy this episode. This is Casey Hill over at Bonjoro, and you can check out the testimonials too at bonjoro.com/testimonials. But before you do that, let's listen in on some of this tactical and strategical stuff that I know is going to blow your mind. Here you go.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later.
And now your host. He's most creatively productive in two places. In his car and in the shower.
Pat Flynn.
All right, if you are looking to sell your products online, you might want to think about doing so through Walmart. Yes, Walmart Marketplace. Millions of people prefer to shop there. We're talking 120 million unique monthly visitors, according to Comscore. Even better, Walmart Marketplace is designed with sellers in mind. Zero monthly or setup fees involved. Plus, launch sponsored search ads or consider leveraging Walmart's fulfillment services to store inventory, ship orders, and manage returns. If you join today, you can save up to 50% off referral and fulfillment fees. Conditions apply. Reach millions of online shoppers with Walmart Marketplace. Head to marketplace.walmart.com/smart. That's marketplace.walmart.com/smart. Head over and get started today. Hey, and real quick, our sponsor today is Uplift Desk, creators of office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. If you haven't tried a sit/stand desk before, this offer from Uplift is the perfect opportunity. Plus, you can support the show at the same time. Visit upliftdesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. A desk should fit the user, right? Which is exactly why Uplift Desk has a ton of customization options. They're stable, the materials are solid. I mean, just the choices of material alone are incredible, all the way from laminate to eco to bamboo and even solid wood. The option to stand while working is just healthier, better circulation, better movement, which helps to reduce all kinds of different health risks and repetitive strains. And over a million customers have chosen Uplift Desk for their innovative designs, direct to consumer pricing, same day shipping. They can even give you free accessories with every desk. Uplift is a great deal, and they're built to last and include an industry-leading 15-year warranty, free shipping, free return shipping if you need to do that as well. So go to upliftdesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. That's upliftdesk.com/SPI to get 5% off your entire order. Casey, what's up, and welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Pat. I'm excited to be here.
I'm really excited because we're going to chat about something that is vitally important that we haven't really discussed in detail here on the show before, and that's customer approval, testimonials, customer feedback, that kind of stuff with relation to the products that you have, the services that you offer, et cetera. Tell us why this is so important, to, especially nowadays, more than ever, really. And then we'll get into like Bonjoro and the product and how you help make this happen. And even if you don't use Bonjoro, specific principles and tips that you could use to get the best testimonials so that other people coming across your products can have confidence in buying it. But why now more than ever? Why is this like so important that we talk about it today?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we've all seen the news, and I think it's kind of a global phenomenon that there's been a lot of economic downturn right now. And with that, looking at figuring out how you create advocacy within your base is super important. And with that advocacy, it's also not only how do you create it, but it's how do you use that advocacy. So there's kind of two pieces to this. There's creating these people that are fans, and then there's how do we take that sentiment and help educate other people with it. And that's where testimonials and reviews and use cases and everything kind of under that umbrella of customer proof becomes super, super important. In some ways, it's kind of a low-hanging fruit because almost every brand out there has those people who are fans, has those people that have had that good experience. And oftentimes it's just figuring out, when do I ask for it? What specifically do I ask? You know, I think one of the challenges is kind of the age-old way is just like, will you leave us a review? You ask everyone the exact same question. It's general. It's not targeted to any specific pain point or problem. So I think there's this big delta of how we can kind of do this in a little bit of a more sophisticated manner. I think that's a really cool opportunity.
When we think about it from a future customer's perspective or a future student's perspective, right, especially in today's economy where people are holding on to their dollar a little bit more because everything is so expensive, because there's a lot of noise out there, there's a lot of trickery and snake oil salesmen and women out there, we got to really pay attention to, well, what things can we do as authentic marketers, people who have things of service to help people with? What are the things we can do to help alleviate some of that worry and help people feel more secure about the money that they're going to invest in your program? And we all know testimonials work. I mean, from the days of infomercials to the online business days now, testimonials work, but there are great testimonials and there are not so great testimonials. So starting with that question of leave us a review or what did you think of our product to your customers is not going to work. So what does work? How do we begin to rethink and reshape how we approach testimonials for our stuff?
So I think there's a couple of core things you want to do. Number one is I think specificity is important. So if you imagine two possible options, one is increase results by 1,000% or increase bookings by 1,000%. Or someone says, we went from 42 bookings to 85 bookings. we got so much new traffic, we actually had to hire a new AE to handle that new people coming through. That second one is so much more specific. And instantly, as someone, especially if someone's sweeping through and reading a lot, they're going to jump to those specific stats and those specific moments. So I think part of it is try to have specificity. Another thing that can be really powerful is what I call kind of long form, which is instead of the one sentence, take a moment to really flush out and have some real depth behind what you're explaining. I know that for me, what I've found is that sometimes those long form testimonials can be really powerful at just contextualizing and again, building trust. There's so much content and so many reviews out there. You know, I've said before, most website reviews suck. And it's kind of funny coming from someone who has a product that helps people do website reviews. But the reason for that is that they're short, they're general, they don't show a human face looking at the person. They're kind of disconnected. And because of that, I think we just breeze over that. So I would say specific, long form. Another thing that's really powerful is video. So video instantly has facial expression. It has tone. It has context. And it also doesn't feel like it's contrived, right? You immediately see someone talking. And as humans, I think we like to feel that we're good gauges of credibility. So when you're talking to someone face-to-face, you kind of make an assessment. Okay, this person's a schmuck, or I trust them, right? So video can be really powerful at helping deliver that. I think that's really important. And another piece of this that I think is really important is affinity. So there's a couple brands that do this really, really well. One that always jumps to mind for me is ConvertKit. ConvertKit is very, very good at building affinity. They say, you know, for podcasters, for bloggers, for insert category. And then they have a testimonial that's specifically tied to that industry. So I think another thing here too is how do you have someone scroll through and say, that's me, and resonate and connect because they're in those shoes and they're in that situation. That's kind of breezing through some of the pieces, but I think those are, as a starting point, some of the things you want to start to think about when you're putting together testimonials that are going to really help maximize conversion rate, which is hopefully the aim, right? People arrive at the website, they see that, it builds trust, and they make that conversion.
All right. So obviously, if we could snap our fingers, a perfect testimonial would be one that has depth, one that relates to the person who's on the other end reading this, considering making an investment or not, one that has specific numbers, measurable things that were, you know, hard before, but now easy because of this, or things that we have now unlocked as a result of getting into this program or what have you. Video, obviously, like you said. And okay, if we could snap our fingers, great. But like, how do we actually get those, right? Like, what questions do we ask so that those are the answers, right? I mean, I think that if we're giving testimonials, that's the best way to give a testimonial, to do those things. But when trying to get them, are you as specific as saying, tell me the numbers and tell me who this, like, you would recommend this to specific? Like, how do we prompt this?
Yeah, great question. So I think that the answer is, first, in terms of what questions, we'll get into some specific questions, but I think the first thing is know your audience. So the audience for a software company versus a creator versus an e-commerce might be different. Some of them might be more emotive, so you really want to focus on the transformation, right? What were things like before and what were they after? If you look at like a website like Marie Forleo's, you'll see this very clear sense of this transformation narrative. But in certain other industries, it might benefit to be much more technical and ask like, what is the specific KPI that you optimized with this piece of software? So that's the first question. Second question is, okay, well, where do we even start or go to approach? So you design a series of questions that you think would be really valuable to, when you know what the pain points are, when you know why people are getting stuck, those are the types of questions that you speak to. And here at Bonjoro, we've created a product, Testimonials, that helps you ask specific questions and get specific replies. Obviously, there are several tools out there that can help with that. But the idea is, first, set up good questions that are going to get and kind of guide the person to give you the information you want. The next part of that, though, was, okay, well, when do you ask people? Like, do you just generically send it after 30 days? Like, what's the magic there? Couple different thoughts. So I think one of the low-hanging fruit that people don't do right now is around any kind of social acknowledgments. So when someone posts and they share a picture of your product, or they share a picture, they just took your course, they say, so-and-so is so great. Is someone on your team reaching out to that person at that point and getting a testimonial, right? Like, you're top of mind. That's the absolute best possible time to grab a testimonial. So that's like step one up here. Number two is, if you use any kind of back-end software and you do things like lead scoring, use that as a way to guide it, right? So say once someone has a certain level of activity, or once they've completed a certain amount of engagement, use that as another kind of litmus test. And connected to that, I think especially like in the creator space, milestones are great. So use specific milestones in the journey and then just have that set of questions go to that person at that specific time. And part of what I think is important here is you want to get the best possible testimonials, but you also don't want to overload people. So if you go send someone, here, answer these 15 questions, person's like, whoa, right? So part of this is getting a little bit smart with it. So the person who's super excited, who just like did a social post and they're totally flowery, maybe you ask that person a few more questions because you know you can get really prime content. For other people where it's a little bit colder, maybe stick to one or two really valuable specific questions. So don't have kind of a one size fits all. Try to understand where that customer is at and pair it. Otherwise, you're going to get people that just, they're not going to go all the way through, or you'll miss opportunity. You only ask one question, but they would have taken 10 minutes because they're that much of a fan, right? So you kind of try to find that right zone.
That's super smart. And I love the tactical things we're starting to talk about. We'll talk even more about that. But one thing I want to actually rewind a little bit, because in a lot of people's minds, mine included, I sometimes feel bad asking for a testimonial, right? Like, we're going to ask a person to take time out of their day to ideally create a video, which is a big ask. How do we get over that hump, that mental hump of asking somebody for something like this that ultimately is used for more sales? It almost feels like we're using or taking advantage of people. I know I've heard people use that language before. So help the listener who's thinking right now, I don't want to ask for so many testimonials and be annoying or be too pushy.
Yeah, it's a great question. And part of it can come from having that context, and it kind of ties back to the ask. So if you know something about their journey, let's say, for instance, you know that they got stuck in the middle. That's a great way for you to reach out. And as a forward to those questions, say, hey, look, I know that you got stuck in the middle, but ultimately you made it through and you had this awesome success. It would mean the world if you could just take a couple moments, tell people about what helped get you over that hump. Now, again, there's kind of like context. You're using their situation to try to provide the why, right? And obviously there could be a lot of different ways that you kind of present that. But if you kind of incorporate them in a little bit, and their story and their narrative, it feels a little bit less like, this is just all for me. Can you do this thing for me? And now you're kind of bringing them into the story. You're going to help the future generations of so, you know. And so I think that to me is a really positive way to approach it. I kind of shy away from, I know that there's this whole other category of like incentives and what specific things you can do. I just feel like it kind of gets into a murky ground. I'm not saying never do it, right? Sometimes it might be good to have, you know, we'll give you a 10% promo and people will use that maybe as an upsell opportunity or whatever. But I think the very best way is if you have some sort of context point. So if you know where they're at in the funnel, you know what steps they've done, and you can use that information, even if it's in a somewhat automated sense, but you can use those context points to kind of drive that home. I think that's great. And as much as you can tie into that sense of community as well, I think that this is a really important piece, is that treat them as if they are part of a community. And this isn't just for testimonials, it's just the whole journey. But think about the platforms and the people that you support. And think about the ones that if they ask you for a testimonial, like there's people for all of us, I feel like, who you would raise your hand. Yes, absolutely. You wouldn't think about it, right? You'd be happy to do it because you have that much affinity with that person. You feel a real sense of community with them. So the person might feel a little bit like, oh, I feel uncomfortable. But for you, it's like, no problem. It's like a friend or a family member. Like, absolutely, I got you. So I think that that's the same kind of thing. If you, on the front end, you really build those types of relationships, people will be very open to it, I think.
I agree with you with that 100%. I think a few things I want to unpack there is this idea of the law of reciprocity. When you've helped somebody, they're going to look for all kinds of different ways to help you back, especially if you've transformed them in some way, which hopefully all of our product, services, tools, software, et cetera, does. And so they're going to be more than likely very happy to do so. And also thinking about, well, what's the worst that can happen when you ask? They might just say no, and that's still okay. You've still helped them in some way. And when you approach it, as you said, as not for you, but actually for them and for everybody else, then it actually is almost like your obligation to ask for this kind of stuff. It's your responsibility, because that testimonial and that particular person's story and transformation and struggle might relate to somebody more specifically and better than you could ever do with any sales copy you could offer on the page from you. So you can actually daisy chain a person's success to help other people succeed as well. And when you consider it that way, I mean, that's how I've sort of gotten over that scare. And then the idea of, okay, well, what's the worst that can happen? So hopefully those tips help you if you're going through a little bit of like pushback to yourself mentally, if you're thinking about, you know, going harder with testimonials. And the other thing is, like, maybe even that word, I know testimonials is the name of the Bonjoro product, and that's kind of ultimately what we're capturing, but I like to consider them as like case studies. And you had even mentioned that earlier, that particular word. And I like that because it really showcases that person and their transformation. It almost paints them as the hero of the story. You are just, or your product is simply just the guide. And we've heard this many times before. We've had Donald Miller on the show before to talk about story brand and capturing their story and their outcome. When you really think about the hero's journey, the idea that they were once in one place, were struggling, had to overcome all these challenges, and then came out the other end much better. Everybody else who's following that story wants the same exact thing that helped them get out of that situation for themselves. And so when you paint that hero's story, it's such an easier ask to say, hey, can I feature your transformation and tell your story to my audience versus can I have a testimonial that I will use on my sales page so I make more sales, right? And you would never phrase it that way, but that's sometimes how we feel it comes across, or we don't want to come across that way. So great discussion there. Thank you. I'm going to throw away that post-it note because I think we've gotten over that hump now. But I want to know, when setting up these questions, and I know in Bonjoro, you can set up a specific set of questions and, you know, have them sort of come out sequentially and whatnot to make it easy for people to go through. It captures it in video. We'll talk about that particular process in just a minute. Many people know I'm a big fan of Bonjoro. I've talked about it in the book Superfans and use it. But just in general, whether using Bonjoro or not, what are some really fire questions that we could ask that can garner these great answers based on what we've talked about already?
Yeah, for sure. So I think one of them, and it's actually kind of a common sales discovery question, is what were you doing before? Where were you at when you started, right? People come to a certain spot and they have a pain point. And sometimes you want to make sure that you remind them of that starting spot. So then you follow up with the, and where are things now? So a lot of times people skip to the end. They just say like, here's the amazing results I had. But again, remember that you're trying to capture affinity. So if you go to, what was it like when your channel was at zero? What was it like when you were trying to scrap things together and you were nervous and you were overwhelmed and you weren't sure, you know, and you get someone to remember that headspace, or they were using some other process and it really wasn't working and they were hitting a lot of walls. They start there. They're like, okay, this person is in the same shoes that I'm at. And then you have the second piece, which is kind of connected to the transformation and the hero's journey that you were just talking about. So I think that is a great starting question. I do really like specific questions that get into the nuts and bolts of results and impact. So if someone can say, look, I grew 10,000 followers, or I grew insert X result, I like those. Because another thing that is important to talk about in this conversation is there is kind of this, the way that we look at websites, we skim, right? We all know this. We all know social media. We skim. So a couple things that are important with that. Number one is numbers do matter. There is a difference if you have two testimonials or if you have 20. They're not going to read all 20. But the fact that you have 20 shows this confidence in numbers. And so that's one factor. Make sure that you try to get that density of them. The other thing is you're going to skim. And a lot of kind of the, I feel bad calling them throwaway quotes, but if you have something that's really unspecific that just is like, this was an amazing experience, it was awesome, we kind of skim those. The specific numbers and results, the eye tends to jump to those, pause for a moment and read that specific metric. So I think questions that deal with metrics in some sense can be really, really valuable to have. So I think that the positioning, the before, then after, specific metrics or results, and even talking about who is this for? This is, I think, a huge mistake. People will kind of have this, here's who it's for and here's who it's not for. And the here's who it's not for almost always is ridiculous. It's like, you know, they try to make it so it's so lopsided that I think normal readers read that and they just think it's silly. They're like, you're basically saying you're for everyone.
People who don't want to succeed, people who don't want more money in their life, you know, like obvious, like, this doesn't even make sense.
Yeah. So people always do that. And it's so silly. And it's not a good strategy because you're treating your customer like they're dumb. What your customer actually does when they read that is they're like, oh, okay, this is just a throwaway. I'm not going to pay attention to it. If you actually include real things, like here are the actual categories of people that aren't a good fit, that actually can do the opposite. It can build trust, right? So if you have people that talk about that specific piece, that can be really big. Another thing I want to say is that practical testimonials can also be super valuable. Think about the testimonials that you read, that you enjoy when you're perusing products. If someone goes and they say, these shoes are sized extra small, that's kind of useful, right? It's useful for you to see that piece of feedback that's actually practical. Or, hey, when I started, I connected in my tool with this other tool like this. And I think that's the best way to kick things off. So don't forget that there's also big value in practical advice that would be applicable to people as they're connecting solutions, connecting tech, or, you know, obviously there's a huge range of types of products. Those are, I think, some types of things to think about.
Would you ask a person, like, how did you make the best use of this online course, for example? Or how did you fit this into your busy schedule? To have a person on the other end who maybe doesn't think they have a lot of time to be able to get some ideas from a customer who's already gotten some success from it, who also didn't have a lot of time to get that practical information actually baked into a testimonial.
I think that's exactly right.
That's cool.
And part of that is knowing. So you as a business owner, you really want to take some time to understand what the pain points of conversion are. If you haven't done this already, you need to talk to customers. You need to talk to people who don't convert and be super honest. And like, and look, it's sometimes it's tough to track down people who don't convert, but even if you just get a couple of them, you'll learn some really valuable information. And you'll get people that say that, look, this seems awesome. I love it. I'm definitely going to try this down the line, but I just don't have the bandwidth. I don't have the time. Awesome data point. Then you know that that's the type of testimonial you want to speak to. So is it a time issue? Is it a money issue? Is it a confidence? And are these people really legit? You know, all of those things, get the sense of that. That's why the specific question is so valuable. So 100%, if it's a time thing, focus in.
So it sounds like we're not just saying, hey, can you leave me a testimonial? Let me ask you a question and just I'll share your answer. But it almost sounds like we're having a conversation with people. Like, hey, where were you at before? What were some of the specific things that happened? What are some helpful tips that you might have for somebody coming in new as well? It almost sounds like a mini interview versus just asking a question and getting an answer to share later. And that's, I know how Bonjoro is sort of treated testimonials. So can you talk a little bit about the tool to share with people? I know people are mostly listening to this, but how might they in their head visually understand how this works specifically?
So imagine that you basically have just a series of questions. So you design, think of it like a survey, right? Like a progressive form that's going to have a set of questions. So let's say there's three key things that you want to ask a person. You're going to type in those questions. You're going to give people the options. Do you want video or text? Do you want to limit it so they can only leave text or only leave video? You can kind of have some specificity there. But really at a core level, the way it's going to work is step one is they're going to hit a thing. It's going to give them some opening instructions. So you can let people know, hey, here's the best lighting to record in or whatever kind of specific so you can get quality video that you're going to want to actually use and put on your website. Then they basically are going to hit start. It's going to take them through a series of questions. And then at the final pane, you'll get consent. Because it's important in this process to make sure you get consent. If you're going to publish people's stuff, you need to get that. So that's kind of the final step. And then basically we spit out a link. And that link is something that you can incorporate in your automations. You could send a personal ask to people. You could send a personal video email to them and then have connected to it the ask. So there's a lot of different ways you can kind of perform the ask. But in terms of visually setting it up, think of it like a progressive series of questions that we then will bundle into a project. And then on our side, we then organize. So as all the responses come in, we're going to organize all those. You can tag different ones. And so if you want to group them together, you know, these five testimonials are really good for people that are concerned about time. I'm going to mark these as time. And then you can then have a publishable asset that you can drop on your website or in a social campaign, depending on what you're doing. So that's kind of how it functionally works.
Is that going to be like potentially an embeddable video that we can include on our sales page or website, for example?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. So we have a concept, we call it like walls of love. So you can get an individual embed link. So you can click on any testimonial response that comes in. You can click download it. So if you want to use it, you know, mash it up, put a preview or something. If you want to edit it, you can download it. You can have an individual embed link. So if you just want to drop one really good testimonial somewhere, or you can tag multiple ones and you can create what's called a wall of love. So it's a compilation of a whole bunch of them that we'll put and you can drop in. And that kind of gives you that confidence in numbers phenomenon where you could grab, say, 10 of them and have those all together.
So beyond the tactical ideas that we've talked about as far as what questions to ask, I mean, the idea of simply organizing your testimonials in this way is absolutely huge. And it's been a huge pain point for Team SPI for such a long period of time. I mean, I would grade us like a C when it comes to not just like asking people to leave testimonials. And we do collect their story. We try to, you know, I even get sometimes to the point where I invite people on the podcast to tell their story. And that's like the ultimate case study. And I can be there in real time like you and I are right now. And that's awesome. But as far as like organizing the idea of tagging them, this person thought that the course was going to be too expensive. Like these four people thought the course was going to be too expensive, but ended up getting way more value. Great. Let me tag those as such that when a person maybe in a direct message or an email replies and says, hey, this is too expensive, I can literally just say, hey, well, watch these videos here from people who said literally the exact same thing as you. and got 10 times the value coming off the other end. Or a person might say, you know, I'm scared of technology, Pat. I don't know if I ever can do a podcast because I don't even know how to click a mouse or something. Boom, here are four testimonials from Power Up Podcasting students, all who were deathly afraid of technology. And, you know, I'm thinking of a person who I talk about all the time. Her name is Dr. B. She was over 60. I invited her on the podcast. People were sending me emails after they got into the course saying, hey, you should thank Dr. B because her story about being afraid of tech made me believe that I could do it too. But just the idea of being able to like go into a database of testimonials for that purpose or on specific parts of a sales page is like mind-blowing. It's like, why hasn't anybody ever created anything like this before? And with the ease of use of Bonjoro to send video, I've used Bonjoro historically to send videos to new customers, new email subscribers, to just have conversations with people. But for the utility of testimonials in this way, it's like, that's kind of revolutionary. So I want to commend you and the team at Bonjoro for creating such a tool and making it easy for us to do that. Where can people get started on that journey to begin building their testimonial bank, if you will?
First off, thank you so much for that. And we had the same problem. One of the reasons and impetuses behind creating it is we also did all sorts of case studies and interviews and had stuff in Google spreadsheets and spread out all over.
That's what we have.
Yeah, I think that's like super common across the board. Yeah, if people want to find out more, you can go to bonjoro.com/testimonials. And I'll provide that link for you, Pat. But that's basically a spot where you can just dive in, get straight into the specific testimonials product, kind of play around, create some surveys, open access for people. So you can get in there with just name and email, open trials, and essentially start testing and start gathering those testimonials and refining that process. And we have lots of assets and kind of different things to help in terms of some stuff we're talking about. So like types of questions, different ways to kind of guide that thinking. But I think even starting small with a couple really powerful, well-done testimonials, and then compare your conversion rates, right? Like I'm a big data person, so my big thing is always benchmark, right? The way you build confidence in putting together new processes is you have a really good sense of where you're at. Then you put that in that A/B test, add those testimonials in, and look at what happens for those specific cohorts of users. And so I think that's a great way to approach it. And we're really excited. You know, Bonjoro came from a company called Verbate that did video testimonials. So our background, our genesis, I don't know if everyone knows this, is actually from a company that did like done for you video testimonials gathering for Coca-Cola and some of the biggest brands in the world. And so we took that insight over the last, you know, X number of years, 8, 9 years, whatever it's been, and kind of infused that into trying to build this thing.
That's cool. To finish off this conversation, again, thank you. And that's Bonjoro, Bonjoro.com/testimonials, plural, Bonjoro.com/testimonials. Go ahead and check it out. I want to know what it's like from a person who is a student or a customer's point of view, right? We talked about it from the creator's point of view, creating an account, setting up these questions. You get a link that you can then send out, whether directly to somebody or en masse. What is it like when I, let's say, click on that link? From a customer's perspective, just so we can get a sense of what that experience will be like.
So you're basically going to be taken to a landing page. So when they click on that link, it's going to take them to a, and you can have that link behind the thumbnail or that's like however you want to embed it. They're basically going to be taken to a survey. And so that first question on the landing page is going to be like your instructions slash welcome message, basically saying hi, setting the context of what this is about. And then there's going to be a little spot for them basically to start the process. They're going to basically be able to click. They'll add their email. So that's all right. They'll add their email. They'll click start. And then basically they'll be taken to a pane where on one side, it will have the question. And on the other side, it will have the ability for them to record. So they don't need to, it's important to note here, they don't need to like record this video separately. There is an option for them to do that if they want to. So there's an upload button. So if they're like, they get the survey and they're like, oh, I do everything in my studio. I need to like go set this up. And I have this other video, no problem. But the idea is for this to be really easy and quick. So they just have their webcam, they click on it, they record their answer, it pops them to the next frame. Same question, do you want to answer with text or video? They click video, they record. If they click text, they type it out. And then once they finish that, they get to the last pane that basically says, thank you so much for giving this information. Again, custom text, say whatever you want. And then that final button where they click consent, and that basically closes. Thank you so much, we really appreciate your time. That type of deal. So that's kind of the experience for someone who's receiving it and giving you the feedback.
Nice. When it comes to the videos, is it one video per question that they could record, or is it one video for the entire survey?
One video per question. So each pane is treated independently. So
that's a lot easier.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot easier for the person to just, hey, take it question by question, record a quick video. And then as far as like what we get, the person who, you know, administered the testimonial, we get obviously each of those videos separately, but like how do we best use those separate videos? Can we stitch them together, or like what's the best course of action from there for us?
Basically, all of those replies will then be collected. You can click on a person and it will basically show all the responses on their survey, and you can go grab those individual videos. Basically, at the point of any individual video, you'll be able to get the embed link, or you'll be able to download it individually if you just want the file to use somewhere. But then there's that tagging system that we talked about. So you can tag specific ones, go through, and the last one is a publish tab. So you kind of have your create the survey, you have your responses tab, and then you have your publish tab. And the publish tab is where you're going to be able to combine assets. And that's where you have the walls of love that you can build that might have six different responses that all speak to timeliness. And you can then go publish that. So the replies are all together, but you can organize them with this tagging system. So it's easy for you to grab the assets you want. And then the publish tab, if you wanted to specifically embed them onto, say, a landing page, a sales landing.
And you also said we could download them as well in case we wanted to edit them and stitch them into a sales video or what have you.
Exactly right.
Cool. I'm imagining another use case for this, right? So we often will launch beta versions of courses, or we'll launch community and have just a small number of people in there. This would be an amazing way to set up a video-based survey to get feedback from users who are using those things for the first time, and then actually collect video feedback rather than just testimonials that we'll use to promote. We can get feedback to understand more about the products that we have. Has anybody used or thought about using the tool in that kind of way?
Yeah, 100%. It's funny you say that, because that's the exact thing. Like in our own case, for our own product in the early stages, when we had people going through beta, we're like, we'd love to give you early access to this stuff. All we want from you is just to tell us what your experience was. Like, what did you like? Where did you get stuck? You know, all these different things. And then had basically gathered a bunch of videos and feedback directly from that. So it's a great use case.
That's awesome. Yo, Casey, this has been fantastic. A hard-hitting, quick-hit episode for people. I hope this encourages you who are listening or watching this to really get on the testimonial game, because it's definitely the lowest hanging fruit I think there is when it comes to selling more of your thing. And now we have a tool that can help us organize that. Again, bonjoro.com/testimonials. Stick around for the outro. But Casey, thank you so much. Congratulations to you. I know you have a kid coming in the next couple of weeks at the time of this recording, your first one. So good luck to you and your family, and best regards. Thanks and kudos to you and the Bonjoro team for always like staying on the forefront of helping us out with using videos, the main tool there, Medium. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Pat. It's always a pleasure to chat, man.
It's been fun. All right. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Casey over at Bonjoro. Again, bonjoro.com/testimonials. I mean, this is so exciting because, like I was saying earlier, the lowest hanging fruit that you could probably have in your business once you've gotten started, once you've gotten customers and success stories, you got to capture those success stories and share them. And finally, there's a tool that can help us better organize these things. And yes, you could do this on your own. We have been doing it on our own through tools like Dropbox, along with Google Sheets and like all the other things combined. Now we can just do it all in one spot and even make it easier for people to easily record video and get these things in the wall of love, and all this other stuff is just amazing. So thank you, Casey. Thank you to Bonjoro. And thank you for listening to our 601st episode of the Smart Passive Income Podcast. If you want to check out the show notes and links and all the other resources mentioned in this episode, head on over to smartpassiveincome.com/session601. I'm just imagining also the ability to strip out the audio of these testimonials or these answers to these questions and then putting them right here in the podcast someday. I think that that is another case study or use case for this, and just such utility in it. So well done. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you take action on this, right? This episode was overall a little bit shorter than normal, but I don't think it needed to go any longer. And now you have more time to actually go and get this done. So bonjoro.com/testimonials. Get ahead of it. Check it out. And thank you for listening in today. I appreciate you and for getting all the way here to the end of the episode. But if you are still on your run, you're still at the gym, you're still on your plane ride or whatever it might be, go and listen to the next episode. Or if you haven't done so already, listen to episode 600, which just passed. I can't believe we got to 600 already. Anyway, thank you so much. I appreciate you. And I look forward to serving you in the next episode of the podcast. Till then, cheers, peace out. And as always, Team Flynn for the win. Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at smartpassiveincome.com. I'm your host, Pat Flynn. Our senior producer is Sarah Jane Hess. Our series producer is David Grabowski. And our executive producer is Matt Gartland. Sound editing by Duncan Brown. The Smart Passive Income Podcast is a production of SPI Media. We'll catch you in the next session. Starting a business can feel daunting and confusing, but it doesn't have to be. That's why Terry Rice started the Launch Your Business podcast, another awesome show from the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Each week, Terry shares strategic actions, specific tools, and what he refers to as high-performance mindsets that allow you to thrive under pressure. Recent guests include rapper T.I., Amy Porterfield, and yours truly. And Terry frequently publishes value pack solo shows too, like this one titled How to Write Proposals That Get Accepted and Don't Take Forever to Write. Great stuff. So make sure you listen in to Launch Your Business right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.